Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, just go ahead and open up with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 30 through 47. John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. And if you don't have your own copy of God's Word, that's okay. Just grab the pew Bible there in front of you and open up there. And use that Bible and take it with you. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, you're welcome to have that. The words will also be on the screen as well, so we plan to have the scriptures there for you as well. If you have your Bibles open there, why don't you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself speaking to you. Beginning verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that he bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, and Lord, we thank you for his gospel. And God, we pray today that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, and Father, today to be changed by it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a child, I loved the show Reading Rainbow. Any other Reading Rainbow fans in the house here today? Probably a few. Got some Reading Rainbow fans here. Each week, at the end of the show, the host, LeVar Burton, he would lead into a selection of books on that week's topic. I'm sure some of you know his signature line, but don't take my word for it. But don't take my word for it. He said every week, but don't take my word for it. And every week there'd be videos of different kids sharing a book, showing a good book that you could read on the subjects. Well, recently, LeVar Burton started his own podcast called LeVar Burton Reads. LeVar Burton Reads. Last year, though, he got in a little bit of trouble. See, during his podcast, he would use his signature line, but you don't have to take my word for it. So his former employers said that they had the rights to that line. So he would use that line from Reading Rainbow. So that lawsuit, though, was settled late last year. And now, for those of you who want to go check out this podcast later, I've not listened to it yet, but it's my understanding that it's LeVar Burton Reading Short Stories. It's perfectly titled. They did a great job with the title. LeVar Burton Reads. It's exactly what happens. But the lawsuit was settled late last year, and now he's free to continue to pull nostalgic millennials into his podcast by saying that line. So it's a really good day. It's a huge win for LeVar Burton. We live in a society, though, that values evidence. We live in a culture that values evidence. We don't want to have to take anyone's word for anything. We have a hard time trusting others. We're sort of trained, even as children, you know, don't take my word for it. We live in a culture and a society that says we need evidence. We need to see things with our own eyes. We need to feel things with our own hands. Now, not all of that is bad. The Bible does tell us to be innocent as doves, but also tells us to be wise as serpents. And in lots and lots and lots of scenarios, it's wise for us to be sure of these things. Here in John chapter 5, Jesus is answering his detractors. If you were here last week, you'll remember we talked about how Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath and he had detractors. And this section of John leading up to the crucifixion starts to show how Jesus is being tested by the religious leaders and persecuted by the religious leaders. But as one commentator said, and I think this is accurate, what John is doing as he tells the story ultimately of the trial and death of Jesus is he's starting to show the way that Jesus is actually putting the world on trial. John's showing the way that Jesus' authority, even though it wasn't conspicuous in his day, he's showing and demonstrating the fact that Christ had authority even over those who ultimately had him put to death. And you can see some of those themes in the prologue of John. If you want to go back today and read John 1 this afternoon, you might begin to see the way that John's fleshing out some ideas from John chapter 1. He came into the world and the world did not know him. John's showing the fact that they should have known him. If they had had the love of God in their hearts, if they had known God like they thought they knew God, they should have known who Jesus was. But here Jesus, in this last section of John chapter 5, is speaking to his detractors in a way that speaks so clearly to us today. Essentially, Jesus is looking at his detractors and saying, but you don't have to take my word for it. He's showing them witnesses, showing them proofs, showing them realities that point to who he is. So this morning, I want you to know that everyone in this room, in one way or another, is struggling with faith. Everyone in this room, in one way or another, is struggling with faith. Now, some of you may be seekers. Some of you may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have any faith at all. And so you may say, I'm not struggling at all. Struggling implies I'm doing something with it. I have no faith at all. Well, hopefully, you can look at this sermon and begin to evaluate why you don't have faith. But anyone who's sinned this week, which is all of us, right, has struggled with faith this week. Struggle with trusting Jesus no matter what. So I want to show you five witnesses, five reasons, so to speak, five reasons why you ought to believe who Jesus is and you ought to trust him with your life. I'm going to pose them as five questions. Here's the first. Would you believe a reliable witness? Would you believe a reliable witness? Would you believe a reliable witness? Notice what the Bible says in verses 33 through 36. It says, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was, that's John the Baptist, was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. Many went out to John when he was preaching at the Jordan River. Many went out to him to be baptized, and there he bore witness to the truth. We saw this earlier in the Gospel of John when John the Baptist would tell people, this is the light. I am not the light. This is the light. When he was pointing people to Jesus, he bore witness to the truth. Jesus is asking then these hearers, these people, why not believe what John had to say? I think you'll note here that Jesus is talking about John as if his ministry's over. Presumably, John is either in jail or probably has already been beheaded at this point. Perhaps John is already dead. And so that even gives more credibility to his testimony, that he was a martyr for the cause. He died based on what he believed. So Jesus is saying, why would you go to John in the wilderness? Why would you go to him and call him a prophet? Why would you go to hear him preach but not believe what he said. You see what Jesus is saying here? If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. But there's another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. Now, ultimately, what Jesus is saying there, I believe, is not referring to John. I think he's referring to God, that God has borne a witness about him. And now he's giving examples of how he can prove that God is bearing witness about him, the first being John. Jesus goes to great stakes, though, to say, not that I need man to bear witness about me. But what Jesus is doing is he's saying, I don't need man to bear witness about me, but why would you go to John and listen to John, but not then listen to me? Because John told you to. John, Jesus says, was a burning and shining lamp in verse 35. And you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you willing to dabble in the things of God, in the testimony of men, in the good things of the church, in sermons that make you feel a certain way? Much like the people of God, the Israelites were in Jesus' day, they were willing to go out. Why? Because John was kind of drawing a crowd. People like a crowd. They want to go out and hear what he has to say, this kind of thing. Are you willing to do that sort of thing? Are you willing to go and hear when somebody seems to be doing a great job or when things seem to be going well? Are you willing to be a part of it? Do you like to look for the good things of fellowship in the church? But let me ask you this. Are you looking for things that make you feel a certain way but still unwilling to come to Jesus? Still unwilling to truly, fully submit yourself to King Jesus? Why settle for a lamp when you can have the bright, shining light of the sun? Why settle for a lamp that burned for a little while when you can have the supernova of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, who burns forever, who shines forever? One of the godliest men who ever lived said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist, the Bible says, Jesus himself says he was the greatest of Israelites up until this moment, Jesus once said. And so I ask you this question, if John said Jesus was the Christ and that you ought to submit to him, is it really the lack of testimony from reliable people that keeps you from believing? Is that really what keeps you from believing? Is that really what prevents you from believing in Jesus? Or perhaps, could it be something else? Would you believe a reliable witness? But our second point is this. And the second point this morning is this. Would you believe through miracles? Would you believe through miracles? Oftentimes I've had people say to me things like, if I could have seen what the Israelites saw, I would be a Christian. If I could see the miracles with my own two eyes, I would be a Christian. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. Why? For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. The very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Jesus is saying, if you want evidence that I came from God, if you want evidence to know that I am divine, that I am the Son of God, look at the works that I am doing. Look at the miracles that I am performing. We have multiple contemporaries of Jesus Christ who have eyewitness accounts of his miracles. Think for a moment about all the things that Jesus did. He healed the sick. He fed the multitudes. He calmed the seas. He would speak and demons would flee. And yet, when Jesus returns, what does the Bible say? We looked at it just a couple weeks ago at Easter. Some still doubted. Some still doubted. And some doubted to the point they were willing to betray Jesus. If you look at Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord, he had seen all these things with his very eyes, and yet he still betrayed Christ. Brothers and sisters, people saw literal miracles. They saw the Son of God do unbelievable things. They knew people were dead and saw them come back to life. I've heard people say, if I could only see a miracle. But I've also heard them say things like, if God himself would come down out of heaven. Have you ever heard this? If God wants us to know him so bad, why doesn't he just come show himself to us? Have y'all ever heard somebody talk like that? I've heard that several times. Maybe they don't ask you those questions. They love to ask preachers the questions. So why, if God wants us to know him so much, why doesn't he come down out of heaven and show himself to us? Brothers and sisters, he did. He did. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did come down out of heaven. He did show himself to us, and literally nobody believed. At the end of the day, he lost all of his disciples by the end of his life. Basically, everyone had betrayed him and left. God himself did come out of heaven. He did have miracles that attested to his divinity, and people still didn't believe. Is that really what keeps you from believing? Is that really what keeps you from believing? I don't think so. Would you believe through miracles? Would you believe a reliable witness? The biblical account says we probably wouldn't. Let me ask you this. It's our third point this morning. Would you believe the Bible? Would you believe the Scriptures? Would you believe the Bible? Listen to what Jesus says in verses 39 and 40. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Oh, my friends, the whole Bible, the entirety of the Scriptures points to Jesus. The point of the Bible is to point us to Jesus. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend about how often we see Christians fall into sin or do things that are unthinkable to us. We were talking about how oftentimes that brings reproach on the name of Christ. And I said, I understand that and relate to that, obviously. But have you ever read the Bible? You ever given it just a real solid look in the Old Testament? You know, you think about any single person in the Old Testament who you would want to venerate. And I'm going to tell you something. You go look hard enough in the Bible, you'll find some dirt on them. Right? You know, we want to talk about Moses, and Moses murdered an Egyptian. Moses was far from perfect. Talk about Abraham. You see some things Abraham did that are just not right. You know, when you try to give your wife away to Pharaoh to save your own hide, we don't call that biblical manhood these days, right? Take her, you know? That's not biblical manhood. You look at King David and the sins in King David's life. Over and over and over again in the Bible, you see that God used broken vessels. Why? What's the point of it? The point is to point us to the one true hero. There's only one hero in the Bible. His name's Jesus Christ. The point of the Scriptures is to point us to Jesus. The point of the law is to show us that we couldn't save ourselves through the law. But Jesus says his detractors, these Jewish people, were looking to the Bible thinking that the Bible would save them because they thought they were living according to the law perfectly. It's much like when the rich young ruler asks Jesus what it takes to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, knowing he was trying to justify himself. People were using the law, using the Bible to try to point themselves to heaven, to try to point to themselves and their own righteousness. But Jesus says the Bible points to him. Let me ask you this question today. What are you going to the Bible for? What are you looking for in the Scriptures? You see, Jesus' critics thought that following the law would give them eternal life, but Jesus is trying to show them that all of the Scriptures point to him as the life giver. If you're going to the Bible to find life advice, if you're going to the Bible merely to find moral instruction, if you're going to the Bible simply because you're curious about God and looking to find information about God, while you may find those things there, it is not exactly what God intended for it to do. Because if you really want to have your life set straight, you don't need advice, you need a new heart. If you really want to learn how to be a moral person, you don't really need to find an external law for you to follow. you need the law written on your heart. If you want some information about God and want to know God, the best way to do that is through knowing Him through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the Bible serves you not as a sort of concordance or an index, but that you look at and go and try to find, okay, so today I'm dealing with this, so let's go find that in the Bible. Now, it can help you that way, and so don't hear me mock the idea of the Bible giving us hope or help in the moment, but ultimately, the big picture of what the Scriptures are there for are to point you to Jesus. That to point you to Jesus Christ. Every jot and tittle of the Bible is about Christ. Never forget, a friend of mine was preaching through an Old Testament book and talked to a person in the congregation and said, well, how are you enjoying this series through the Old Testament? He said, man, it's pretty good, but I'm ready to get back to the gospel. And that's so often all of our mindset, right? That the gospel's the New Testament and the Old Testament's something else. Now, the purpose of the Old Testament is to make us thankful for the gospel, to point us to the gospel, to point us to Jesus Christ. And so you may not believe a reliable testimony, and you may not believe through miracles, but would you believe the Bible? Well, based on the number of people who have Bibles and read Bibles, I don't think ultimately it's the Scriptures even that will finally convince you that Jesus is the Christ. Fourth, would you believe your leader? Would you believe your leader? Jesus' detractors thought that they had the corner on Moses. Jesus' detractors thought they had the corner on Moses. You see, they're trying to follow the law of God. They're trying to follow the law to a T. In fact, in order to try to follow the law, they built a bunch of laws around the law to make sure they were following the law. We talked about that last week, how there were, 39 different ways to break the Sabbath. And so they felt like Jesus was breaking the Sabbath by healing a man on the Sabbath. They thought the man was breaking the Sabbath by picking up his mat and walking on the Sabbath. And it wasn't just the Sabbath that this happened with. With all sorts of different things, they added laws to make sure they were actually following the law. And when Jesus talks about the law and the prophets and the writings, when we talk about the law, the Bible, it's referring basically to the first five books of the Scriptures written by Moses. First five books of the Bible, the Torah. And these folks thought they had the corner on Moses. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? These very verses are one of the reasons why I'm not a red-letter Christian. Because Jesus says, if you don't believe what Moses wrote, you don't believe what I wrote. And so I don't think we can focus only on the quotations of Jesus in the New Testament, because all of the Bible is God-breathed. All of the Scriptures are the Word of Christ. All of the Bible is a testimony we need. We need the totality, the fullness of the counsel of God to truly know Jesus and who He is. Jesus says it's Moses, then it's the law. It's that which Moses has written, on whom they set their hope, that will accuse them before the Father. In other words, they're so preoccupied and so focused on the law that they're missing Jesus. And Jesus says, don't think that it's me that will accuse you. I'm here to offer forgiveness. I'm here to offer hope. I'm here to offer life. It's the law you think you're following. It's the law you think you're following that will serve as accusation before the Father, because you're not following it like you think you are. In other words, they set their hope on Moses in the sense that they thought if they followed what he wrote, they would commend themselves before God. But ultimately, what they would find out is that the law would be what would stand to accuse them on the final day. Why? Why? Because they thought that was what gave them eternal life, and they missed Jesus. They missed Jesus Christ and His grace beyond the law. They missed the righteousness that God gives outside the law, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, If Moses said it, these folks believed it. He was their leader. He was who they believed in. He was the one who had led their forefathers out of Egypt. He was the one, the pro-Israelite, the one who everyone looked to. And yet what Jesus is saying is, you don't believe Moses as much as you think you believe Moses. You don't really believe it. Would you believe your leader? Now, we all want to think, right? We all want to think that each and every one of these things is sufficient for us to believe. Would you believe a reliable witness? Would you believe through miracles? Would you believe the Bible? Would you believe your leader? Each and every one of us in different circumstances. And these people who were Jesus' followers and hearers in this day, in different circumstances, would have given a rousing amen to each of these things. There's a reason why when you're going to a new town and you want to find somewhere to eat, there's a reason why you get on Facebook and say, can anybody tell me of a good place to eat in Chattanooga? Why? Because you want a reliable witness. There's a reason why people believe people who say they can perform miracles. There's a reason why people want to point to the Bible when they're in an argument. There's a reason we put our hand on the Scriptures when we're swearing an oath in court. There's a reason why we follow leaders, because we trust them. No, brothers and sisters, it really all boils down to this. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? That's our final point. Do you believe God? All of these questions, all of these witnesses that Jesus is pointing to really culminate in this reality, this pressing question. This is the question of the ages. Do you believe God? He's pressing upon his critics a hard reality, which is to reject him is to reject Yahweh, is to reject God. It is to reject his Father. Verses 37 and 38. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. To reject Jesus, he's telling them. To reject the Son, he's telling them, is to reject God himself. Beginning verse 42. Jesus continues, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I've come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. In other words, the vacuum cleaner salesman comes up and says, I promise you, this is the best vacuum cleaner I've ever done. You will not have to wear your sandals inside because your feet will be perfect. You won't even have to wash your feet indoors anymore. This vacuum cleaner will have your floor so perfectly clean. Sold. And Jesus comes, I don't know. You receive man, but not God, Jesus says. You glorify one another, but reject the glory of God manifested among you, Jesus says in verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? In other words, you give glory to each other. You say, wow, Rabbi, that was a good law. Wow, Rabbi, that was a great teaching. Wow, Rabbi, what a good thing you've done there. Wow, Rabbi, this, and wow, Rabbi, that. And here, even in our own culture and society, what a good man he is. What a good woman she is. Oh, I don't know about that person. Not so good of a person. Not so great of a person here. Not so great of a person there. All the while we follow our own rules. All the while we trust the opinions of man. We listen to what man has to say. All the while we'll trust a reliable witness here. All the while any new wave of doctrine comes along that claims a miracle and we are all over it. We'll buy the books, we'll buy the Bible studies, we'll watch the movie, everything we can do, you know, to prove some modern miracle. We'll jump all over. We'll quote the Bible left and right. We'll say, well, this so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. You know the biggest obstacle I often have as a pastor to people believing something that's been plain in the Bible, to say, I didn't grow up hearing that taught. We'll listen to our leaders, but will we listen to God? Will we listen to Jesus? God has spoken. He has shown Jesus to be His beloved Son by sending reliable witnesses, by giving us the witness of the Scripture, the very testimony of Moses, the testimony of the Spirit. And now we have the testimony of God Himself, who did not allow His Holy One to undergo decay, but instead raised Him up in power and glory and has seated Him at His right hand, declaring to all people in all places at all times that Jesus Christ, who we crucified, is both God and Lord on earth. God has spoken. You need to listen to what God says. You need to listen to what He was spoken, what He has spoken. I can preach and preach and preach and preach. I can preach until I'm blue in the face. I can show you old evidence that doesn't demand a verdict. I can show you new evidence that does demand a verdict. I can show you every apologetics book that's ever been written. We can stack them up sky high. I can preach here for days and days and days. Amen. Y'all ready? And I could just keep preaching and preaching and preaching and telling you over and over and over again that Jesus Christ is Lord. But brothers and sisters, you need to believe God. You need to believe God. That's ultimately what our problem is. I can tell you all day. I can point you to hundreds of different things. I can tell you all day, but there's good news. You don't have to take my word for it. I want to offer an invitation this morning. It's simple. If you don't know Jesus, He stands with arms open wide. If you will repent of your sins, if you would turn to Him in faith, Jesus will save you. This altar is open for you today if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for the first time. If you don't feel comfortable coming down, catch me after the service. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Second of all, you may be a Christian who says, Pastor, I've been struggling with doubt, and I've just not been believing Jesus like I should. This altar is open for you, and if you want me to pray with you, I will. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to talk to you today about what it means for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus Christ, and we thank You for His gospel. And God, we pray even now, Lord, that You would move among us. God, open our hearts and minds to receive Your word, God, and please let us be changed by it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.